Good morning. Welcome to our Thursday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. We're talking and praying this week about living as those who are sent and recognizing that Jesus called us just as he called his disciples at the end of Matthew chapter 9 to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out workers into his harvest field. Chapter 10 follows what I believe would be the disciples praying what Jesus asked them to pray. And as a result, Jesus sends them out into the harvest field, proclaiming the kingdom of God is at hand. And so we live as those who are sent, not just sent anywhere for any purpose, but sent by God to wherever we're at to share the good news of Jesus. And that'll be our focus this morning, this first day of spring. It isn't going to look or feel a lot like we would want spring to look and feel like here in northern Indiana, but it is the official first day of spring. And we're going to talk and pray about being those who are sent to share good news. And we've talked, I think, each morning because it's kind of is woven throughout each of these daily topics, the Great Commission, where Jesus tells us that as we go into the world to preach the gospel, to share the good news, proclaim. Sometimes we get hung up on that word preach, but it's really proclaiming the gospel. Baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded. Those are kind of the orders from on high, if you would. And so all of us, as believers in Jesus, have been sent to share good news. Romans 10, verse 15 says, "And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Recognizing our responsibility to share good news with others ought to motivate us to be proclaimers of the gospel of Jesus. The other day, driving home, there were a group of people on a little triangle island in the roadway, road going around them at least, with a little portable PA system and microphones and signs, and I suspect they believed they were proclaiming the good news. It was not really warm outside. My windows were up. I couldn't really, even with the amplification, hear what they were saying. But regardless of what they were saying, their signs appeared to be somewhat condemning. I don't know, maybe that was their approach. Maybe God led them to address certain things, but to just someone passing by, I didn't see a lot of good news. And I didn't hear anything, so I can't really comment on that. And sometimes when we recognize our responsibility to share the good news of Jesus, we picture people like that. People who are bold enough to stand on a street corner or in a public space and speak at the top of their lungs about whatever biblical issue that they want to address. And sometimes in certain settings and situations and promptings of God, those can be effective tools to get people's attention. I think sometimes the attitude displayed in those may or may not be all that helpful. But regardless, this sharing of the good news seems to be most effective when it's done with both our words and our actions. If someone shows up on your doorstep and starts yelling at you because you've not mowed your lawn, and your neighbor's not happy with you, there's a good chance you probably already know that you haven't mown your lawn. You probably already at least suspect that your neighbor isn't happy with you. But suppose that the reason is because you can't. Physically, you've been injured, you've been sick, you just couldn't get it done. Suppose you've been bedridden and you've not really been able to see, to be aware that your grass was needing mown. And somebody yelling at you about getting out there and getting it done isn't probably going to win friends or influence you to be motivated. Suppose that same neighbor, or maybe the other neighbor, because this one's angry with you, comes over and knocks on your door and says, "I notice you haven't been able to mow your lawn. Would you like some help with that? Is there something going on that I can pray for you about? How can I serve? How can I be a neighbor?" I suspect you'll receive that, well, at the heart of it, the same message: your lawn hasn't been mowed and it needs to be. You'd receive the second manner a bit better. At least I would. I think most of us would. And when we recognize that we have been sent by God to share the good news, we discover, not only by his example, but by his teaching, that we do that by serving. Jesus says, if he, the Lord, the Master, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has served us, how much more ought we to serve one another? And when we recognize things in people's lives that, well, aren't godly, approaching them and yelling at them about their sin and how awful it is probably doesn't do a lot for most people. And there are some that kind of need that shock treatment, I guess, but how much more to sit down over a meal or a cup of coffee, or better yet, sit down over some ice cream. So have noticed this in your life. How can I help you deal with that? How can I serve you and be your neighbor? You see, being sent to share good news, even in this Romans passage, it talks about being sent to preach. It isn't fully about occupational preachers. It includes those, and it includes those that help send preachers or missionaries to other parts of the world or to places where the good news isn't being talked about much. But it's also about each one of us having the responsibility to proclaim the good news by the way we live and allow our words to follow our life so that the transforming power of Jesus is displayed one neighbor at a time. And we can say that when we understand Jesus' definition of neighbor. It's the one who shows mercy. And it isn't that we limit who our neighbor is, it's that we become a neighbor to all we encounter. And today, as you live as one sent by God to share the good news of Jesus, how will you be a neighbor who shows mercy? Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. Your love showed us what a neighbor ought to look like as Jesus came to show mercy, to live and die and be raised from the dead, to ascend back to heaven, to back to his throne with you, to accomplish what we could never accomplish on our own, the salvation, the rescue of our soul. And so God, today, as we consider what life looks like, may we make the most of every opportunity that we have to live in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our communities, as one sent to share the good news of Jesus. The good news that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And to understand that that salvation comes by your grace, your mercy, that it was extended to us through Jesus. So God, as we take seriously our task of sharing the good news, may we do so with the gentleness and respect that you've told us to use, with the mercy that must be included. Father, forgive us for the judgmental attitudes that we carry, for the legalism, for trying to make everybody just like us instead of helping each of them, just as we do ourselves, be just like you, just like your son Jesus. And God, today, as we have opportunity, may we be the neighbor that we ought to be. May we share the good news of Jesus. May we lift him up at every opportunity that we have so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Thursday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.